Welcome to episode 17 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, sir.
Hello, other Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
Let's get to our first topic right away here, though. Well, actually, let's skip that for now. And let me say that I got to play golf last Saturday, so I was quite excited about that. Jeff, you've gotten out a few times lately.
Yeah, I think I played 36 from Saturday to Monday, so I was real happy about that.
It's warming up here, or at least it did briefly here in the northeastern part of the United States, so we're happy about that. We don't want to hear about your 450-yard drive. Not yet.
And I'm almost through unpacking.
We'll save that for our distances ruining the game chat later.
Yes, yeah.
And Jeff is done unpacking almost.
Almost there. I get to go golfing today.
If you haven't watched so much golf lately, you would have been done unpacking.
True. That is true.
All right. Well, our first story this week is that Greg Norman apparently wants to sue the PGA Tour. He may not actually want to sue them. He just wants to look at the books. I find the whole word "the books" to be very vague, and I'm not sure what he's actually asking to see. But he's a member of the PGA Tour, and he has concerns, and he feels it's his right because the PGA Tour is a charity. He should be allowed to inspect the books, whatever the books are, as well as the minutes of meetings, which are also his right. I downloaded the PGA Tour's 2004 tax form. We'll spat out some numbers from that later. But you know, what's the deal here? This has potential to be a big story. You know, if the PGA Tour, which kind of almost has a favor by operating under a charity or a nonprofit organization title, you know, it could be a big story if something happens here.
Yeah, and I got a kick out of the fact that was it Tim Fincham agreed that he would love to sit down and answer questions. So there was no promise made of showing him the books. And maybe you can clarify this for me, but what's exactly the purpose of his looking at the books?
Well, see, that's the thing. I was able to download the tax form because they have to publish that and make it available to anyone that asks. But they have to make extra information available to members of the organization, Greg Norman being a member of the organization. So he's allowed to see things like the minutes and so on. You know, most companies will err on the side of transparency. Most organizations will err on the side of transparency in these issues. If the PGA Tour, I think they could be willing to go along with him. They could be saying, if he said, "I want to see the books," well, that's not terribly specific. So obviously they're not going to dig up, you know, credit card statements from Tim Fincham's corporate card from 4 years ago. I don't know that he needs to see that level. So perhaps the PGA Tour's response that will answer specific questions that he has is going along with it and following the rules and the laws. Basically, Greg Norman has made a big deal out of saying he's asked and that they've responded by saying, "We'll answer your questions." I don't know that...
I think it's kind of made the news because in all the articles I've read about it, there's no clarity to what Greg wants to actually look at. It's pretty ambiguous, and that's where I think the conflict's coming from, not from the PGA holding out on him.
Right, well, that's where people are trying to make a story. They're trying to paint it as Greg Norman's entitled to a right, but he's being denied it by the PGA Tour.
Exactly.
And my point is that I don't know that he's being denied it because I don't know that he's made a very specific request. So we'll see. Potentially be a big story, but at this point, almost a non-story because we don't know very many specifics.
Yeah, well, and some of the media might feel that this is a grudge match that Norman's got against Fincham, for instance, because, you know, he suggested this World Golf, help me out.
Just a World Golf series of championships around the world.
Right, the series, he felt snubbed over that whole deal.
Kind of got usurped by the World Golf Championships that, whether he got snubbed or whether he got steamrolled, the World Golf Championship may have been something that had started up before.
Right.
Greg Norman certainly feels that Tim Fincham took the idea from him. I don't know. I do know, though, that the PGA Tour spent $13 million in 2004 on advertising and promotion.
Wow.
They spent, let's see what else we got, $186,000 on bad debt, whatever that means. They spent $1 million on facility and support, $1.3 million on insurance. They spent $76,000 on permits and licenses, $337,447,000 on player prizes and benefits, with another $48 million going to player retirement. They spent $3.3 million on scoreboard maintenance, $1.9 million on special events, $11.4 million on tournament operation, and $47.8 million on TV production and broadcast, all on an income of $660 million. We have this linked to from our site because it's publicly available, so go ahead and if you want to check out the PGA Tour's 2004 tax return, have at it. Until this develops into an actual story, you know, I guess we'll leave it alone for now. Something that is also yet not quite an actual story is drug testing on the PGA Tour. Several people have asked for drug testing. Several people have responded by saying, "We don't need drug testing." What's your take? Should the PGA Tour institute a drug testing policy, even if it's not necessarily needed right now?
Well, you know, I think Rick Arnett brings up a valid point, you know, that in our day and age, it's important that, you know, there's a level playing field between all sports. And I think he has a point there. You know, golf has always maintained that it's up to the player to police him or herself out on the course. And I think that's exactly what, you know, the PGA Tour is sticking with, is that, they trust players not only to call themselves for a rule infraction, but to mind their manners when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs.
I think I'm on the same page. You know, it's a gentleman's game. The game has a long history of self-policing and self-penalty.
Well, is it a penalty, though, if it's not against the rules? I mean, it's against the rules to move your ball in the rough, but it's not necessarily against the rules right now to take a performance-enhancing drug.
That's a good question.
I mean, you can self-police all you want, but that's based on a set of rules. I'm of the opinion that it wouldn't cost anything. It wouldn't cost the PGA Tour. It's not a bad idea to institute a policy. Say, hey, look, everyone passed. Go figure. We knew it would happen. And then go from there. I don't know that. I think, again, they should institute the policy, test the player, say, hey, look, nobody's using drugs, and then move on. They're being criticized for, it's almost like they're covering up a secret by, you know, trying to say, we don't need the testing. Why don't you need the testing? If you don't need the testing, prove it to us. You know what I mean?
Well, I think when you look at players, you know, I mean, it's pretty apparent that, you know, the guys on the PGA Tour, on the whole, they're not steroid freaks. I mean, none of them look like a Barry Bonds. None of them look, and none of them want to, but that's not a problem.
The South Korean Prime Minister resolves in a golf scandal. What's going on, Jeff?
What we've got is the South Korean Prime Minister, which is, you know, he doesn't hold the reins as far as, you know, running the day-to-day operations of the country, but he's been on the golf course several times in the midst of, whether it's natural disasters or in the midst of, political instability, and finally he was caught on the golf course with a man that was a little less than honorable, and so he's resigned in the wake of this Golfgate scandal.
Golfgate, okay.
It said he was golfing in April of 2005 when a wildfire destroyed a 1,300-year-old Buddhist temple. There's a couple other things. He was caught on the course while he was needed elsewhere.
Okay, is this going too far? I mean, sometimes you're sleeping, too, when this happens, and if the people know how to get a hold of him, I'm not sure that it matters where he is at the moment, right? Or did he turn off his cell phone or something, you know? Was he at least a good golfer and turn off his cell phone, or did he have it ringing all the time?
Yeah, well,
there's a temple burning. Wait, I'm on the fourth hole.
Let me put out. You know, I think the difference here perhaps was this man, and it will link to in the story is a line that says the man who runs a flour mill in the southern port city of Busan was reportedly ordered the day after the game to pay $3.6 million in fines for fixing flour prices. So the guy that the Prime Minister is golfing with is basically a criminal, and so and they're a bit, that's the big thing.
So it's a sensationalist headline meaning to look golfers look bad.
I think that's what it is.
That's what it is.
It's a plot, a conspiracy.
Okay, now we're on to it. Now that we're on to it, we'll be right back. So there, I will be right back after this segment from Golf Gods and an ad from Titleist.
In the heat of competition, you should really stick to your go-to shot. For me, that's a tight little draw.
Copy your practice swing and don't think about results.
Just take your time, keep everything nice and slow.
When I'm under pressure, I think about my kids.
I think of my kid too.
Keep it simple, play one shot at a time.
Don't be tentative, stay real aggressive.
Make sure and drink lots of water.
Concentrate on concentrating.
Don't think too much.
Just remember to breathe.
And don't panic.
And one more tip,
trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
From the studios of GolfGods.com in Minneapolis, this is Chip Shots, a weekly look at golf equipment news, brought to you by the staff of GolfGods.com, the official online pro shop of thesandtrap.com.
This week on Chip Shots, it's all in the wrist. Most of the important accessories Golf Gods sells are directly related to improving performance on the course. Be that high-tech tees designed to find you more distance, innovative moisture-wicking apparel to keep you cool and dry under pressure, or fancy electronics to speed play and lower your handicap, it's usually all about improving your game. This week's segment has nothing to do with on-the-course performance unless you count being on time or looking good. In 2005, we added a small assortment of timepieces from the Callaway Golf Collection. We liked the line as a nice adjunct to our Callaway-branded hard goods, and the watches were a decent value and a nice gift item. Callaway's watch line is designed and manufactured by Fossil, who is known globally for producing well-made, stylish watches from about $75 to $200 at retail. Technically speaking, the watches are nothing special, meaning the movements are usually all uber-reliable Japanese quartz, but Fossil usually does a great job with the styling and details, allowing Joe Average to enhance his wardrobe without breaking the bank. Callaway's agreement started back in 2004, and by all accounts has been successful for both parties. What I'd like to bring your attention to is the 2006 X-Series line. I think what Fossil has done on behalf of Callaway is produce some of the coolest looking sport watches available today in a fashion which really complements Callaway's product design on their hard and soft goods. Callaway has always had a keen knack for producing really great looking products, and this watch line is no different. I frankly don't think you even have to be a Callaway fan to see how cool these watches are. The black and silver $125 CY2053 is a radical-looking three-piece stainless and PU rubber case with a chronograph movement and a dual material band. The Bomber Sports Clip will keep the watch on your wrist even during aggressive athletic endeavors. The dial is slightly oversized, and the contrasting silver hands make for an easy read, even for those with less than perfect eyesight. Take a look at the product image online and see how nicely this watch would look with a technical golf shirt and a pair of khakis. If you lean toward the fashion forward with a bit of techno wizard in you, the $100 CY2072 Anadigi combines the classic stainless tank style with a combination analog digital display. A contrasting blue bezel detail is suggestive of a certain famous Callaway driver. This watch would look good even underneath the cuff of a blue dress shirt. Lastly, the $85 CY2074 is a modernized version of the classic field watch. It's got a classic oversized round dial with combination analog digital movement with a black digital display. The orange dial ring gives it an updated appearance, and the leather strap with contrasting stitching is a nice design detail. All the watches come packaged in a nice metal gift tin and come standard with a 2-year warranty. If you're looking to update your golf look this season, I'd strongly suggest checking these watches out. Well, that's it for this week's Chip Shots. For more information on the Callaway X-Series timepieces, check out the text portion of this week's podcast on thesandtrap.com or come visit the golfgods.com site for full product details. Now back to this week's podcast.
And welcome back. This week in our forum topic of the week, the Grand Slam odds on Tiger for 2006 have been set, and they are 100 to 1. Sorry, no, they're 30 to 1.
30 to 1.
That was somebody else's suggestion. Is that you, Jeff?
30 to 1 odds. How many majors will Tiger win this year? They have links to that. If he wins 0 majors, the odds are 7 to 4, which means if you bet $40, you win, I think,
70.
I don't know if that's right, because I've seen odds where it's 1 to 7. So I think if you, you win 70, so you win back a total of 110, is what that means. You win, for every 4, you win 7. You clear, you profit 7. If he wins 1 major, you don't win much. For every $4 you bet, you win 5 back. 11 to 4 on 2 majors, 15 to 1 on 3 majors, and all 4 majors only 30 to 1 odds. Not the best odds there. There are some other odds at this site. The weekly odds say of this week, Tiger Woods winning Bay Hills 5 to 2. Tiger Woods winning the 2006 money list here 7 to 1. So if you bet $7, you get $8 back. You win a whole dollar. 30 to 1 odds on winning the Grand Slam. 30 to same odds as Chris DeMarco, Jim Furyk, and Davis Love just winning the Masters. Good odds, a good bet, or no?
I'll take that every day of the week. I'll put $100 on Tiger to win the Grand Slam for 30 to 1.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I'm tempted to take you up on that here myself, despite the fact...
Oh, are we talking 2006?
Yes, 2006. His career? No, 2006.
Well, you know, when I read that, it struck me as that at very pretty low odds. They're not hedging their... Vegas isn't really hedging their bets that well. 30 to 1 is pretty likely. Like it said in that article, Furyk, DeMarco, a couple others are ranked at 30 to 1 for the Masters. We're talking about all four majors here.
Okay, so at the end of 2006, if Tiger Woods doesn't win the Masters, you're going to, or the Grand Slam, you're going to give me $100.
Make it 10. I'll pay up at Newport.
And if he does win, then I owe you 30 times that.
Make it a $10 bet.
A $10 bet.
We'll pay up at Newport.
Okay, well, see, I'm just going to invest $10 myself on these same odds, and there's no way I can lose, so there. Jeff, should the odds be different? Cody thinks they should be 100-1. He thinks the odds are so tough of winning a Grand Slam that it should be 100-1 at least.
Well, I mean, obviously it is tough. I mean, he's already done it once, and I mean, you look at last year, and he was so close. I mean, Eric, you can tell us how many strokes he was away from winning the Grand Slam last year. About four strokes. I mean, yeah, you know, he's been playing well, but there's so many factors that can play into it. You know, I mean, he got sick earlier this season. What was it, Cody, that said, what if his ball lands in a divot? And then he, you know, I mean, there's just so many things that can...
I don't know. If you gave me 30-1 odds, I'd take that bet for 10 years. I'd put it down right now because I have 10 years then to do it. If I won in any one of those years with 30-1 odds, obviously with 10-1 odds, I'd be, you know, I'd come out even. But with 30-1 odds... If he does it once in those 10 years, you know.
You're laughing.
Yeah. I think I'd take it at 30-1 if they could guarantee me that for 10 years. But if Tiger does it this year, obviously the odds will go down a little bit next year.
Right.
So, you know, and, you know, I'm of the opinion that he has won a Grand Slam. He held all four major championships in the same year. I don't want to get that whole thing going again. You know, so he didn't do them in a calendar year. He could go home and look at all four major championship trophies sitting on a shelf at the same time. That, to me, is winning the Grand Slam. Bobby Jones never won the Masters, so there.
Right, he built the Masters.
For obvious reasons, yes, but still. There's an article here asking if someone is going to ever give Tiger Woods the game, if he's ever going to challenge anybody to anything. I think that's... You know, I don't see it happening in the next 10 years.
Not today.
Nope, I'm with you on that one, too.
We've talked about this before here on the site, but very tough to do. We talked about that last week, like I said. David Toms didn't look at a scoreboard, had a chance, but really, is anybody in the same league now?
No.
Jeff, you are the subject of our first swing check.
Yep.
We take some video, we look at you, we make fun of you, and put the results online for all to see and learn.
Yeah, that's pretty much par for my life.
By the way, I think it's quite unfair to compare anyone to Tiger, but you got that done a couple times here on the same article.
If we can't compare David Toms to him, then why are we doing it for me?
Because you're built almost exactly the same, and your your wives are equally as attractive.
Okay.
Really, this purpose of mentioning this is to get some listeners to send in some video so we can put you under the microscope, so to speak, and put you on swing check. Basically, think of it as we look at your video, we take some pictures of it, you know, we compare you to the setup and swings of professionals, and we show you where you can improve. Send your videos in, and you too can be ridiculed in public, I suppose. By the way, if you were ever looking to see a picture of the man who refuses to buy drinks for anyone after getting a hole-in-one, this is the column to do it. There you go. Now can you not only make fun of his character, but his swing as well. So
you can actually make fun of me.
Right. There you go. If you see him walking down the street, feel free to ask him to buy you a drink. Won't happen, but feel free to ask.
You can ask.
We'll be right back after someone buys us a drink.
To hit the ball more solid off the tee, you need to swing at a pace you can't control and catch the ball right in the middle of the club face.
You want to hit it a little bit longer, try moving it up in your stance just a little.
You got to complete your backswing.
Try a little pause at the top.
Try a bigger shoulder turn.
Grip it more in the fingers and less in the palm.
If you want to hit it big, you got to swing big.
And the most important tip of all,
trust your tightest.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
That was a good shot, too.
And welcome back. Sean Connery. And that's a terrible impression, but I'm not Irish. Hey, wait.
Yes, it was.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. He's Scottish. He's not Irish, so he's probably going to kick me in the nuts for that one. So, happy St. Patrick's Day. And the Scotsman, Sean Connery, is suing Sherwood Country Club on Thousand Oaks. You know, we've heard and seen of Sherwood spin the news fairly frequently. They allowed Connery to join for a $35,000 initiation fee. And according to the lawsuit, in the years that followed, the club used Connery's worldwide celebrity to enhance the club's reputation and to attract new members. Well, in 2004, Sean Connery terminated his membership, and he claims that the contract allows him to recover 80% of the going rate for membership, which is about $500,000. The suit also says the club has basically refused to pay him. So he's suing for breach of contract and for more than $500,000 for unjust enrichment. You know,
wow.
What's going on? That has more than a 00 number in it, 500,000. What's going on here? I mean, is this one of those lawsuits that you do because you feel it's the right thing to do? I mean, he probably doesn't need the money.
He doesn't need the money. I imagine he's doing it for pride. I mean, he feels slighted by the club. So they say, okay, fine, you're going to breach the contract, assuming you know, of course, this has happened.
Right.
Then I'm going to take it to the next level, and you know, you guys toss my name around, and so let's see what I can get for that.
Yeah, this is probably the kind of thing where he's involved for about 15 minutes. You know, he says, "Wait," you know, a lawyer comes to him and says, "By the way, you're entitled to this." Really? Okay, we'll handle it.
Right.
And that may be the level of his involvement. You know,
it just seems strange to me. I don't understand why Sherwood wouldn't pay him. I'd be interested in hearing a little bit more about this story.
Yeah, certainly. They could afford it, I'm sure. Phil Mickelson, this is Beating Balls, so we're going to be quick about these. Phil Mickelson has not beat any balls with a hybrid. He's a holdout in the hybrid craze. The guy plays with a four-wood. I mean, that's almost a hybrid, right?
It's for all intents and purposes, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, it's a shorter shaft and so on. Yeah, apparently can't hit a hybrid.
Possibly hits it too high or something, but could also be that his company, maybe he doesn't like any of the Heavenwoods or something, huh?
That's entirely possible.
Don't know. I mean, Tiger Woods still didn't have a holdout or a hybrid either. He has a 5-wood, so...
I can't remember where I read it, but in, I think, either this month's Golf Magazine or Golf Digest, they had it in the bag, what's in the bag with Phil Mickelson, and he's playing the FT3 driver, but he's got two other woods that aren't Callaway. Strike me as crazy. He's playing a Titleist.
He has a Titleist and an old TaylorMade, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, too. Long standbys. Don's written an article before about club contracts and the fact that usually you only have to play 10 or 12 of a certain company's clubs. Usually, you know, irons plus a driver or irons plus a wedge or something like that. Because wedges, putters, and drivers are so particular to certain players. Is the LPGA better than the PGA Tour?
Never.
It will never be. Is it more interesting?
No, I can't stand watching the LPGA. It's mostly because it probably has something to do with not understanding that there's a lot of women. Like with the PGA Tour, I'm kind of familiar with all the guys. I know their backgrounds. I know the struggles they've had in the game and whatnot. With the women, I just don't know them. So that's probably why I don't like it as much.
So your reason for not watching the LPGA Tour is there's a lot of women.
Yeah, I guess it boils down to that. I mean, it's just less exciting golf to me. Okay. I like to see him hit it far, knock it close, one putt.
Okay. I like to see golf that resembles my own game. And, you know, when I see them at 165 and they pull out a 7-iron and not a knockdown pitching wedge, I find that interesting because I feel like I can learn a little bit more. The main point of this article is that, you know, Tiger Woods is not on the LPGA Tour, and there are a lot of golfers that might actually challenge Annika. Paula Creamer, they have a lot of young people that are exciting. You know, I think there's similar things on the PGA Tour, though, as well. So, mm-hmm. You know, the guy lists in this article, fewer drunken yahoos in the crowd is a plus. Fewer crowds.
You wouldn't hear any you demands after every tee shot.
Right. Thank God.
The guy also lists Erica Blasberg as like four of his eight reasons. So, you know, I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, I like the LPGA Tour just because, aside from the fact, unlike Jeff, that there are women, you know, their games more resemble mine than, you know, someone who hits the ball 340 yards.
And it's becoming more interesting also because you have some, you know, some young talent rising to the surface that's very interesting to watch. You know, whether it's the cat fight between Michelle Wee and Morgan Pressel, or is Creamer going to pull through on the weekend? And I mean, you've got some names up there now that are pretty, you know, high profile, good right. players.
Well, so, how different is that from the PGA Tour? We got a ton of young guns coming out. Viegas, Watson, Holmes, all those guys, all the rookies are making a lot of noise on the PGA Tour.
Well, it's compelling to me. Is it different? Nah, maybe not. I mean, maybe I'm...
I agree. I love the Pressel-Wee confrontation. I think that's great.
There's just too many darn women for you, Jeff.
There's too many damn women.
All right. The Ryder Cup team, speaking of all these young guys, here's the problem with the Ryder Cup team as it stands right now. Do we really want Aaron Oberholzer on the Ryder Cup team? Do we really want Lucas Glover on the Ryder Cup team? Do we want Kirk Triplett on the Ryder Cup team?
I know I don't want Tom Lehman playing on the Ryder Cup team.
Jamie Holmes. I mean, the top 20, 25 contains a lot of young guys that really aren't battle-tested in big tournaments.
Well,
because they shifted the points to so strongly gear up for this year. You get a lot more points for winning this year than you did for playing well consistently over the past 2 years, and that's how I think the U.S. team's always had a lot of veterans.
This is how I think about it. Do we really have that much to lose? We were 9.5 to 18.5 in 2004. Why not try switching it up? Why not get some young guys out there, see what they can do? We don't have much to lose.
Just another Ryder Cup.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, fair enough. It'll be interesting to see how this shakes out, though, with so many more points being given to this year's winnings and earnings and all that. I don't know that I want to see Kirk Triplett playing on the Ryder Cup team.
Yeah.
Don't know.
And it's true. Well, yeah, and it's coming up soon.
Speaking of the Ryder Cup, the 2008 Ryder Cup dates have been announced. It will be played September 19th through the 21st. This is at the Valhalla Golf Club. So September 19th, 2008. Mark your calendar. Of course, this year's Ryder Cup, September 22nd through the 24th at the K Club in Ireland. Once again, happy St. Patrick's Day. And finally here, Mickelson. Mickelson, yeah, we know that Ford has dumped the Doral. We find out now that they're dumping Doral largely for bull riding.
Maybe golf fans just don't understand this one, because I don't.
Ford has shifted its focus to promoting bull riding tournaments and things like that. And has largely pulled out of golf. You know, largely, golf is usually, you know, you think Buick, you think Cadillac, you think, you know, the slightly higher priced cars. Maybe you don't think of Ford as being, you think of it more as a working man's truck and not necessarily a luxury car.
So long as we don't see, cage fighting sponsored by Ford.
that would be good. So they've ditched Mickelson and gone with cows. Not sure much has changed, so.
They're way about the same.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. So.
Oh, jeez.
And hey, the Bulls never win either, so.
Right. This is the high-quality reporting you get from the sandcrab.com.
That's right. Unbiased opinion.
We are completely unbiased. But Luke Donald, referred to himself in the third person several times, saying that he played Luke Donald golf in winning the PGA Tour's Honda Classic last week. Luke Donald Golf is apparently driving the ball fairly straight, not too long, hitting solid iron shots, and making some clutch putts when you need to. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But again, once again, another week on the PGA Tour where a long bomber does not win a PGA Tour event, but rather the guy that hits it close to the hole and makes a lot of putts.
Well, some would say the tour's in shambles. Here's Donald, you know, speaking basically right after that whole fiasco.
Winning his first PGA Tour event, his first full-length PGA Tour event, his other win came after a rain delay after the third round. The guy has a lot of credentials. He's, you know, in the top 10, I think, in the world golf rankings, but really hasn't done a whole lot. Finally getting an actual PGA Tour win, so perhaps this will be the kickstart he needs to turn it on and do the things that people have expected from him for a little while. Will he win a major this year?
He's hungry for one. I mean, he was. He listened to his post-round interview last weekend, and he said, "Yeah, I think Luke Donald Golf can win, the Masters," or whatever he said.
Right.
You know, whether or not he's going to do it this year, I don't know. Sure, the guy can win a major. He keeps driving it like that and hitting his irons as solidly as he has, and sure.
Well, yeah, he wants to, that's for sure. He also said he wants to be the world number one. He thinks he can take on Tiger Woods. I don't know about that, Luke.
Nah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, in 20 years when Tiger retires.
Yeah. When Tiger Woods needs a wheelchair and a golf cart, then maybe you got a chance.
Right, and he'll still have to get two aside. Poor golfers don't deserve play mandates. Jeff, what's the story here?
Well, we have a report from the Sun News. We'll have a link to it in the podcast notes. But former coach of the Carolina University, Thomas Brennan, basically apparently is advocating the removal of players from the course who are not competent to play at his level. Well, I'm not sure if that was exactly his words. The issue, of course, is pace of play. He's frustrated with those who take a long time and slow things down. And he's taken it upon himself to say that, you know, we should remove slower players from playing.
Right, because which I think is Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods play so quickly. You know, pace of play has almost absolutely nothing to do with how well you play the game of golf. So if what it seems like this Thomas Brennan said, in my opinion, he's full of it. You know, I used to suck at golf. Everyone sucks at golf when they first start. Some would say I still suck at golf, but I never played slowly. You know, if you walk, if you keep pace, you know, if you're ready to hit your shot when it's time to hit your shot, you know, the most any stroke per hole can add is another 10 seconds or so. Hogwash and malarkey. And if Brennan said this, you know, he gets my vote for jackass of the week. We're not sure he said it. We will be back next week with something hopefully a little more intelligent than this week's podcast.
Unlikely.
Too many green beers already this morning.
No more women in the LPGA.
Stuff like that. So thanks for listening this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.